What is happening, Dolphins fans? And welcome to another episode of the Fins Tailgate with your host, El Capitan. Hit the like button on the way in, as my camera is magically telling you guys when it does that. So I appreciate that from the camera. Shout out to everybody getting here early. A little bit of earlier show time for the show because we've got a special guest in the house. So make sure you guys are hitting the like button, subscribing if you're new. I know Doug, who's our special guest, is short on time, so I'm not going to waste it. Make sure you guys are hitting the like button. Doug, what's happening, my brother?
Welcome back. What is up, bud? Not much. Just living every day as I can.
Yeah, well, living the Dolphins lifestyle can shorten your lifespan. I read that on the back of the ticket. So, been a while, Doug. It's been too long, honestly. It's been too long since we did this. And I wish... It's been longer than the last couple. Yeah. So I will say this. Hate that it's under these circumstances right now with what's going on with this team. It's rough right now, buddy. As we know, Bears joint practice. It was only supposed to be thud rules, which, got to be honest, not feeling thud rules. You don't do a scrimmage and we're not going full speed. I've never seen that in all my years of playing football. You could barely not go full speed against your own guys, much less someone you don't know. Mm-hmm. That was a recipe for disaster. We end our first preseason game in a tie, which is, it's like amicably breaking up. There's no juice to it. Come on, man. There's no juice. Give me something. And then, you know, yesterday before the joint practice, late, we get this Ramsey on the pivot,
mm-hmm.
just straight dogging us, you know, with his implications of how soft we are. And then today, Doug, joint practices with the Lions. By all reports, Lions look like they're playing a college team. It's bad, bro.
Mm. Yeah, there was some aspects, like, obviously everything feels doom and gloom right now. There are some positives that we can take from it, some positives. Like today, for example, it's not, and I know a lot of people are going to react, and even I was upset with the way they came out today, because especially after what happened Friday, and then you have the Lions linebacker saying what he said, you would think that they come out, play a little harder. They obviously didn't. There were some nice plays, especially from Minkah Fitzpatrick, but you wanted to see a little bit more. But again, you could take certain things into context. Like, we didn't have Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle out there, Austin Jackson, Alec Ingold. Like, there was a bunch of guys who didn't play. But you kind of just wish you saw a little more. It was nice on our defensive side, seeing the hard hitting from Brooks and Dotson. And, you know, you can tell who the leader of that defense is going to be, especially with those hits. And then even the preseason game, you can tell that McDaniel was just trying to test things out, even though I did not like his play calling on that last drive where we could have kicked the field goal. I think, like, we were on their 45. We need like 5 or 6 more yards. And some of the play calling was, you know, again, it's preseason, but you know, that fade to Eric Uzukama down the right sideline, I'm like, you got your rookie in there. You should really be working on him, you know, fundamentally trying to get into field goal range instead of just, you know, let's see if this will work, or let's see if that
will
work.
Yeah, he was throwing some experimental things out there, and you could tell.
Yeah, like, I wasn't upset about running it 4 straight downs when with the first drive. I was fine with that. That's like he said, you know, you want to put stuff on tape, see what you can work on, all that stuff. And if they do it again Saturday, I'm fine with that as well. These are things that need to be worked on. And even like he said, if that was a real game situation, we know for a fact you got Tua Waddle out there, you're going to put Achane next to Tua in the shotgun. One of them scoring. So I'm not worried about that. Yeah, exactly. I think what's happening from us Dolphins is we're seeing the national media talking about it. And then you see, like, what the Jets did in preseason. You see what the Patriots did in preseason, how they, like, thumped their opponents. And, you know, all of a sudden you see all the high and mighty talk from everyone else. And then, oh, the lonely Dolphins are getting pushed around in training camp. And so, you know, we don't like it. So we push back, or we're like, you got to do better. Come on. Oh, we're going to be the laughing stock, this, and that. But we'll see. Things do translate to the regular season, and things don't translate to the regular season. So, you know, I don't think the sky's falling quite yet. I normally wait till about week five when I start calling for Chris Greer to be fired.
Yeah, I need
when
a couple.
Did we play the Titans last week? Was that week four or five? Because that's when I called for him to be fired.
I thought we played him later. I thought it was week seven, something like that.
Yeah, but that's when I was like, So that's when you'll start getting me thinking the sky's falling. You know, around week five, if we're like 1-4, I'm like, get rid of them. Start over. Sell the team. Sell all of them. And I'm a Mets fan, so I'm used to saying sell the team.
Yeah, you're like, get these bums out of here. Well, I would say this, you know, a couple of caveats. One thing you mentioned that I forgot, that, yeah, that Lions player audio clip comes out dogging the Dolphins and saying we're soft, and then they get this. First of all, our corners are in trouble, and they got torched, and they're going to continue to get torched. Yeah. And the way this defense is built, that's where they've decided to lack therein. They've went hard on the line and hard in the second linebacker unit. So that's how they want to do it. How they'll play it off, we'll see. I think they plan to, you know, be stingy against the run. If you can go over the top of them and keep everything in front of you, and then in the red zone, there ain't that room to stretch, and this D-line will get to them. Mm-hmm. And they'll be a bend-don't-break defense with hot with what I hope they think is more explosive plays in the backfield, like strip sacks, you know, batted balls, things of this nature. And that's pretty apparent to me, and it's what I've seen. I mean, going all the way back to free agency, it was apparent that that was the route they were going, you know, and then the draft followed it up. They get Kenneth Grant right in the center. You know, if they went and got a corner, it'd be different. They didn't. They quadrupled down on the D-line. You know, it's just how they want to do it. We're going to see how that pans out. I still have high hopes for the defense. I still think, you know, at some point they got to add somebody, some veteran presence in the secondary, and they probably will after the 53-man roster cuts. But I'm wondering just a little bit now, okay, because you know me. I like to take the angles. This team has been super dependent on throwing to Tyreek Hill, throwing to Jalen Waddle. And for 3 years, well, not 3 years, but years now, they're like, listen, we need to be more dynamic. Last year, it was the tight end that they went at. And that the dynamic was the tight end had great numbers, but it didn't equate to more wins. And those less targets to Tyreek didn't really mean that, hey, we're a better football team. In fact, the record shows, and we could say what we want about Tua, but even his record playing is a losing record. He was 5-6, if memory serves me. Well, maybe it was 6-5. I can't remember. Either way, it wasn't good enough. It was 50-50. So they need to get back to the roots a little bit, and it was that explosive running game. Yep. And they've been very heavy-handed in running backs and the type of offensive linemen. And I think this is their chance to really get those kinks out for the run game. We know what they can do to pass. If they had Tyreek and Waddle out there at joint practice today, maybe they're still getting punched in the mouth in obvious run situations, because to me, that's their biggest thing. When it's obvious they got to run, they can't do it, and everybody knows it, and that's where people make sure you're soft now. Yeah. But if it was spreading this defense out with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, then a lot of this other stuff isn't as bad. So this is where probably one of the first times I'll say that it's more true than it's been in the past is that we're working on these weaknesses right now. These are the kinks we need to get out. I just want to know what's it all going to look like together. Darren Waller, Alec Ingold, Austin Jackson, and then the weaponry, and then all this work that's painfully growing pains up to this point. How's that all going to integrate into something? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, and you know, if you watch 2023 again, for the time of the year, I think we're at one point we were like 10-3. And we were running the ball. We were running the ball well. Our offensive line was healthy. That's the biggest thing. A lot of people look at 2023 and think it fell off because of Tua. It fell off because of the offensive line and the injuries. That Titan game, we lost Connor Williams. I think we lost Isaiah Wynn in the same game. And then
we lost Austin Jackson. I think the next week we lost Austin Jackson.
Yeah, like we lost.
And last year with our running numbers, when Austin Jackson came out, it fell off a cliff.
Yep.
Off a cliff.
Exactly. So, you know, they added better players in James Daniels, but again, there's that big question mark with his Achilles. Then you have Jonah, who has shown really good signs. Obviously, he's not a perfect product, but no rookie really is a perfect product. Patrick Paul has done a lot better than I thought he would at this point. So they're really trying to bolster that offensive line, because a lot of people think that Tua needs everything perfect around him to be successful, which isn't true. Right. He doesn't. There's no team really that has everything perfect around him except for the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, it's not even a knock on them. That's just really how great their GM is, that team literally has everything perfect around Jalen Hurts and he wins a Super Bowl and an MVP.
Picking up Mekhi Becton last year and the way he did just for nothing.
Exactly.
For nothing. I mean, that's their rotation guy. Like, damn, dude.
So, you know, what Tua needs is a run game. You know, we faced the highest rated cover two last year and the lowest rated cover one. That's why all of a sudden all the deep passes disappeared. And all of a sudden Tua was just throwing all these short passes and then the screens and the screens and the screens, is because we had no run game. So the defense didn't have to load the box. So we faced the league highest cover two. So there's nothing deep. You can't throw anything deep. So that's where, you know, we started implementing, all right, Jonnu, you're going to be doing the screens and we're going to implement this and that. You get a run game going, all of a sudden that opens the entire offense up. That opens up the play action. That opens up so many different things, because now you have to focus on these things. Unfortunately, Alexander Mattison is done for the year, and unfortunately his career might be done with the neck injury he has. But in camp, he was killing it once the pads came on, especially in the short yardage situation. Now we kind of have to hope that Ollie Gordon can now take that next step, because, you know, Tyreek Hill took a shot at Devon Achane, but it wasn't that, like, was he wrong? You know, it's third and
he
whatever.
He said the quiet part out loud. That's exactly what I said on Twitter. I said, y'all just mad because Tyreek Hill's saying what you're all thinking.
Exactly. You're not going to put Devon Achane out there, because you do. They know, all right, they're going to throw it on third and one. You know,
I got to be honest. I don't want Devon Achane running it up there. What now? Now what? Now I got a banged up or injured Devon Achane because I'm forcing him on a third and goal line like that? No. Why would I do that to him?
My biggest thing is the running backs that they added necessarily don't replace Alexander Mattison. Now, again, this could be a situation, like you said, where it's different than it has been in the past. You don't go from 90 to 80 to 70 to 53. You now go to 90 to 53. So there's going to be a huge influx of free agents, possible trades. You know, I have depth. You have something I need. We'll trade you, you know, whatever. A team to watch out for is the Kansas City Chiefs. They've crazy depth that corner, so I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins try to make a move at Kansas City. But yeah, like they need that big guy, and like you said, they look like they are trying to head towards that direction in free agency in the draft. Like you said, three defensive linemen in Grant, in Phillips, and in Biggers, and now, you know, one of them's gone. Well, no. None of them are gone.
No.
But, you know, you got those three guys, but the one that is gone is the running back that you added, the big guy that was going to be your short yardage guy. So now you got to figure that out. But
well, I think I have high hopes for Wright, honestly. And I know people are down on Wright, especially because seemingly Ollie Gordon comes in here year one and passes him up with no pushback. But I said this about right when we drafted him. I said, listen, he's one of those guys that, like, early in the game, he's getting stuffed. He's getting a yard, 2 yards. And then by the third quarter, he's breaking loose and beating on you. And I get it. That's not really how the game is played, where you have this healthy dose. But I think he's one of those guys that it's like a snowball. He starts building up, and now he's been banging on these guys. They got to get him and Ollie Gordon with their big bodies loosen the secondary, forcing nickel corners and safeties to hit them and these corners to tackle them. You know, something that a lot of people just don't talk about a lot is in the chess game of your pieces. And using big tight ends and big running backs, loosen the secondary, banging up corners and safeties, then having to ask this guy that just got lit up, guard Tyreek Hill, guard Jalen Waddle, and now you got him. You got him. That's how those big explosive plays happen. It's run, run, then take it over the head. Mm-hmm. And this team has to do, I think that's what they're doing. It hurts. And I'm just wondering if it doesn't work, how, because the pressure's on. Fans are coming for their neck. I mean, me too. I'm tired of being the nationally recognized, the soft team in the NFL. That is embarrassing, dude. That's embarrassing. And I got to wonder, man, like, does Mike McDaniel pull the plug too early on that?
That's where you really have to worry about, because Mike McDaniel, a lot of times, like, he doesn't make the greatest adjustments. And like, sometimes he'll come out and he'll say some things, like the playoff game, prime example, going into halftime. He was either going in or when he was coming out of the tunnel. I don't remember which one. Oh, we got to run the ball more, because the conditions in Kansas City were ridiculous. Like, let's be honest, even Tron Armstead came out and said they shouldn't have played the game. The wind was blowing one way, so, you know,
people were losing fingers, buddy. Everybody, there was like, exactly, how many recorded cases of frostbite?
But when, you know, when Buffalo has to play in that weather, they you know, postpone it, or they move it to Chicago or Detroit. But whatever team was facing the wind, they couldn't throw the ball. Like, they couldn't throw the ball. So, you know, McDaniel came in, he's like, oh, we got to run the ball more. Run the ball more. It was like, that's what he does. And, you know, it drives me nuts. You know, and we saw a glimpse of it in the preseason game, and I was critical of it. And again, I understand it's a preseason game, but you come out of the half in your second play, you have to call a timeout. That's not good, man.
Especially when, man,
you know, you're on their 45, you have one timeout, and you can't run the ball because you can't eat that timeout. God forbid something happens. You don't call a timeout. You have two timeouts in that situation, and you can run the ball instead of forcing viewers to throw. See, like, these are obviously, it's preseason, but you're putting situations together to
work. You got to practice it.
And that's horrible situation. That's like, you got to work on that stuff. Thank God they didn't challenge anything in preseason, because
I think you should challenge the heck out of everything just to get it out of the way. Because we're working with numbers here at this point. Analytically speaking, he loses 20 challenges in the preseason, and then we can maybe win some later.
I'll hit the first one against the Colts, you know. Yeah, I think he's only hit, like, I think he's like 4 for 28 on challenges.
Yeah, no, he is. It's terrible.
And let's give McDaniel some credit. I'll give him a little credit, but I'm also going to, you know, get on a little bit. I'll give him credit. It's not really his call. You know, he has a guy upstairs that says challenge it. Like, he's saying, but then on the other hand, why is he still working for you? If you
are that guy, 28? Who's the videographer that's running the challenge thing? No, you're good. Challenge it. Like, that guy's got to go.
Where's all us fans at home watching it on CBS? Like, don't challenge it.
What are you doing? Shout out to Amando, who asks a question. He says, was the team moving up in the draft to guard a bad decision, considering all the holes that we needed to fill on the team?
I am super biased. I am. If you haven't seen the reaction, Jonah, I loved him coming out of college. I loved the prospect of him. When I was watching the draft and the Dolphins traded up, I was like, is it Jonah? And it was Jonah. Like, this is the first time in my fandom of being a Dolphin where they actually did something that I wanted. Normally, like, they'll trade up and I'm like, is it Jonah? And they take kicker from Arizona State. And I'm like, what are you doing? So this is the first time
they took Jonah. I didn't even see this guy.
So I was like, oh, they did it. Supposedly the Patriots wanted Jonah real bad. So
I think
Dolphins had some inkling of that, and they jumped right in front of the Patriots and took him. Now, obviously, it didn't, you know, it wasn't, you know, the world beater for the Patriots not to take him. But from the understanding is, they knew the Patriots were going to take him. So if they didn't move up, he was going to be gone the next pick. I like the move, you know, especially because of the style he plays. He can play tackle. He, you know, obviously he's playing guard for us now. The physicality, he has the speed, he has all that stuff. Now, I see where everyone's coming from, because you see what Will Johnson's doing in Arizona. I will say this, let's pump the brakes, just like I'm telling people to pump the brakes on Shedeur Sanders. It's preseason. We saw
Sanders will play for a couple weeks in the NFL.
We saw what Skylar Thompson did against Tampa Bay his rookie year. Came out and lit the world up, and everyone's like, oh, Skylar's going to beat out Tua. And then
he lit it up in preseason this past week too, buddy.
What do you feel, three touchdowns?
Three touchdowns, couple hundred yards. Out, watch out, A-Rod. He coming for your job.
He'll be nipping at your icy heels. You see how he had the ice is like his shin or something, Aaron Rodgers?
Did you see that? Limping. Did you see that, like, that six-cone drill where you shuffle through? Oh, my. I said, bro, why are they making this man even do that?
All the places for him to go, he went to Pittsburgh. Like,
well, he did play. I mean, it's, he still was in New York and he still played in up in the north. But I mean,
at his age, man, I would have went to
find
Arizona.
A dump.
Yeah, find a L.A.
Yeah, I'd find a the Saints. Saints don't have any quarterback. Exactly. Got a dome. You're in the South. The NFC.
Exactly.
Kind of cook through that division right now. That, I mean, okay, the Bucks have it, but do they have it? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But yeah, it's wild. I would say Jonah was, I was high on the Jonah pick because I think he's got not only all the traits, but I think he's got that mentality. Yes. He was high on my board as far as getting him in the second round. We got him. I thought was very fortunate. Mm-hmm. The kid that the Patriots got, I forget his flipping name right now. The tackle. There's like a video he has, and he's talking about like, I'll die and kill for my quarter. Like he was dead serious, bro. He's got like a murderous look in his eye, and I was like, man, this, I need this kid on my team. And the Patriots, Will Campbell. Yeah.
Because there was another offensive lineman that went, that now everyone's like, you know, the Dolphins are going to be comparing him. Let me see if I can find. There was a guard that went like after the Dolphins. Tate Ratledge.
Shout out to the dive bar boys in here. Got jokes.
Was kind of a stadium, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But so, Tate Ratledge didn't look too great today. So,
and again, you know, in retrospect, where's all these guys in 2-3 years down the line?
That's where it matters.
You gotta see. That's where it really matters. Like Kenneth Grant. I was super high on him.
Mm.
He looks as advertised up to this point. We're going to see the wall at some point, you know, that the rookies get.
Yeah.
But he certainly don't. He looks mean, buddy. He looks mean.
People who want to see Ndamukong Suh now, it's just unrealistic. Like Ndamukong Suh, it's like saying you want to see your first round, you know, wide receiver be Tyreek Hill from the get-go. You're seeing Jonah and even Jordan Phillips do things that are beautiful and exactly what we're asking for. They're taking double coverage.
Like, they're taking their one-on-one matchups so fierce that it's demanding someone help them. That's going to bode well for every. That's all I needed from them.
The play, and I think that the Bears quarterback got it off, but if you watch the play, Sealer did a crazy push-pull technique on this offensive lineman for the Bears and just ate him up. And while he did that, there was a center and a guard blocking Grant. So he just push-pulled him, and he was going to murder that quarterback. That might have been the play that Willie Gay got a half a sack as well as Benito Jones. But this is what we're going to see.
I know this exact play because if you watch, the guard sat out there and had to come in because Grant bull rushed the center so much that he was like, oh shit, I better go help homie. And it gave that isolation. Even and that's the type line, of stuff we're talking about.
You saw
about.
Jordan Phillips, you saw Grant. They were just moving people. And that's what we're asking to do right now. Help us open a lane for blitzers, help us open a lane for the pass rushers, for Sealer, all that stuff. Because then we want the situation where, okay, are you going to double Sealer? Are you going to double Grant? If you double one of them, you can't double Chop. You can't double Chubb. You can't double Phillips. You can't double Willie Gay if we're blitzing him. You have to now. And that is what Weaver's trying to do. But on the flip side, you have to worry about, okay, in this situation, you got to worry about quick routes by the receivers, quick ins and stuff. And if you jam and get beat, then it's a problem. So, you know.
But I also see because of this tackle play that we're going to have, it's allowing Weaver to flex his standing linebackers wider out than he needs to, leaving the middle, daring them to push it into the middle of the field, saying, we're daring you to run. We're daring you to put a slant route and try to throw it in the middle of the field right now. And that's where I think they're going to have. And I also think that's where they're going to try to creep up one of the three safeties, whether it's Minka, whomever else, and they're never going to know who's playing safety at this time. I think they're going to rotate between the two safeties and a nickel, and you're just not going to know. And that's what I think ultimately when it comes to a full circle for what Weaver wants out of it, he wants this rotations of of what is essentially three safeties, one playing the nickel, guys mm-hmm. like Elijah Campbell and stuff like mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. and using, you know, a rotation of corners while you're not knowing where the extra help is at any given moment. And that's what's going to make confusing. So yeah, they might isolate on one side of the field and you chose proper to go on that matchup on that side and you might get it, but you then throw over here and miss it. Now it's second and 10. You run, you get 2 yards. Now it's third and 9 or third and 8. And you're going to throw on the Dolphins defense that's looking to blitz with yep. their linebackers. Yep. And that it's going to wreck some faces. So and it's not going to work all the time, but it's going to wreck some faces when it comes.
A lot of what I was hearing today, obviously, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown had his day, but, you know, we expect that against our corners. But I was hearing a lot of tackles for loss, contain, shooting the gap. You know, Brooks was having a day. From what I'm hearing, Brooks was having a day. Dotson made some good plays.
I heard so, Dotson did good today, too.
You look at the overall practice, it wasn't great, but there were still instances where our starters were getting in there and doing their thing. And again, you know, so what will translate to the season, what won't, but you got to also take into the consideration that, you know, starters aren't out there for the full time. And, you know, so there's things, you know, it's not encouraging to hear these things, but I wouldn't say the sky is falling yet. Like I said, get back to me week 5 after we just faced the old AFC East. So we have to face the Colts week 1.
God, I wish I had that in my division these days. Right? You know what I'm saying? Goodness gracious. Doubling back to the offense, I am worried about the need to make plays. I think, again, we've preached it for, you know, 2 years heavily for Tua needs to not do the things he's doing that's going to get him hurt. We'd rather him throw the ball away and, you know, use this timing routes and stuff like that. Let's get to this real quick. Joe Rist asks, do you think we've been waiting too long to get Waller acclimated to Mike McDaniel's offense? That's actually a really good question.
I'm wondering what's taking so long. If he doesn't practice this upcoming week, then because I'm going to be down there the 20th and the 21st. If he doesn't practice this upcoming week, there's no point. Like, honestly, you know, pull the plug on
Waller. Got to get chemistry. Experiment.
You know, he's got to practice. It just is what it is. They will practice. I think cuts are due on the 25th down to 53. And then obviously they get like 2 weeks before the season starts. So there will be practices. It's just obviously not training camp, but it gets to a point where, you know, what's going on, you know, there's not physically, you know, obviously he didn't play football for a year, but if you're telling us, oh, he's been doing this off season and that on the off season, we get him out there, you know?
Well, meanwhile, we have a tight end that we added, Merrick. Remember this guy? We had him here for a cup of coffee a couple years ago. He hasn't played since. He's right away practicing. So riddle me this. That guy's been sitting around on the couch for 2 years, good to go. And Darren Waller, who's out here shooting music videos, is not good to go. I see him. He looks fine. The guy looks like he's got a freaking, you know, what are you talking
about?
Exactly. But I don't know. I wonder if there's a little gamesmanship with a lot of it, too. And the Dolphins, really, I get it. They got to get tricky because tricky's what's kind of paid off for this. You could say what you want, but this team is a scheme team. That's what it is. It's really where when the scheme ain't working, that's when you're asking players to do more. And that's really where this team has struggled, you know, whether it's more from Tua or more from the run game, more from, you know, whomever, it's never getting there. But in the realm of it, this is a scheme team. It's been a scheme they've been trying to build since they got Philbin here, buddy. That's it. Just Mike McDaniel's been the best to do it with the best fitted quarterback to run it. That's the only reason we've had success in it. I got to wonder, as inevitably it feels it's coming to some form of an end, whether this goes good or bad, next year will be probably the last year they'll run this experiment unless it bears real fruit. Do they get off this train? Do they go and get another first-time head coach? We've had nothing but first-time head coaches since Jimmy Johnson. Mm-hmm. Are we going to continue to do that? Are we going to do, we had a player-friendly, sweet-on-everybody coach. We're going to get the TNT. We're breaking out the old TNT wall, Doug. Is that what we're going to do? Is that what we're going to turn this around?
It's funny, too, because, you know, people say, like, floor is this, floor is that. There's a difference between being tough on your players, like a Mike Tomlin, and what Flores was doing.
Oh, no, Flores was getting into the he was little boy and people in the locker room, and get it.
There was a reason why all of his assistant coaches left. There's a reason why his best friend and Graham went to the Giants to do the same exact thing. He was his defensive coordinator. He went to the Giants to be their defensive coordinator. Like, that's your best friend. And he's like, I'm out. Like, there's a difference between being tough on your quarterback and wanting more and berating him and texting him. And all, like, obviously, this is football. You have to be tough. But, you know, if your head coach is Nick Saban, I'm pretty sure you know how to deal with tough. Like, there's a difference. So if this falls apart, and there's a, you know, it's to me right now is a 50-50 shot that this falls apart. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. The future isn't as dark as we see. You know, you go on Over the Cap, you go on Spot Track, and you see we're at like negative $23 million in cap space next year.
I know. It's sad, dude.
They make two moves. They cut Tyreek Hill and they trade Tua. They're at plus 30 in cap space. So they're fine. You make two player moves, you're under the cap by $30 million. You're fine. So the money isn't the issue. It's like you said, who's the next coach? Who's the next GM? There's no way that you're going to keep Chris Greer. And if they do keep Chris Greer, if you thought my video was bad at the beginning of the year, this year, I'm going to lose
Chris Greer. Chris Greer's got all the dirt. He's got the contract written in blood. He's got a jar full of souls that depend on him.
He's the reason, man. He's the one. He's got the souls and the Indian burial ground. He's been with the team for like 20 years.
He's the poltergeist. All are welcome. That's Chris Greer. That's who he is.
He has the Ark.
It's the Ark of the Covenant. That's right. He's got
the
Ark.
The pole with our eyes closed. He's going to open
getting that. Getting fried. You know, I do want to touch on something. I wonder if Brian Flores is a big fan of that show, The Bear. You ever seen that show, The Bear? I figured you did. That's a great show. But maybe he subscribes to the guy. Like, you know, he's gonna make you have a complex about it. You're gonna have nightmares.
That's what he did to Tua. Like, and we're laughing about it.
I don't think Tua was the only one. I don't think he was the only one. That's
literally what he did to him. Like, Omar Kelly on the Dolphin Collective was talking about a joint practice they had. And I think Tua messed up a play or something. And he said that Omar said, I have never seen a coach yell at a player as hard as Flores was yelling at Tua about like a mistake in practice and a joint practice, like berating him. Like, I get people who don't like Tua and I understand, but you can't sit here and tell me that's how you build up your quarterback. Like,
not a quarterback. It's more of something subscribed for.
You're a D-lineman, you're a linebacker, you know,
so mad that you don't feel the pain anymore. And even though
I'm going to go destroy. That's different than,
I need my quarterback just a little level-headed at times. But he's got to have a little bit. He don't need all that noise in his ears. But I thought to myself, you know, maybe he subscribed. Maybe he just, you know, was trying to make him into a really good cook or something. I don't know. You know, I thought about that show, The Bear.
He's crying. He's just yelling at him. You're nothing. You'll never be.
He'll never. I know. That's Brian Flores. That's who that is. When I watched it, I was like, this is what he was trying to do to Tua. Maybe it would have worked out.
He had the text in the middle of the night. Your breath stinks.
Nobody likes you. I'm cutting you on this team as soon as I get a chance. Wait till you get it. I'm getting you, boy. I'm standing outside your window right now.
He looks out, he's standing there.
He's like, yeah, I'm here. I wasn't kidding.
I'm watching you. You better see one eye open. Are you watching?
He's egging his house. He's egging his house in the middle of the night. It's crazy. Brian Flores was a savage, to say the least. I'm just wondering a couple of things about this team. You know, I don't want to hear that we're getting pushed around by the Lions. I hated hearing about the Bears. We knew the Bears, but the Bears suck. I get their defense is good, but the Bears, I don't know who's holding their breath for the Bears to make some noise in the NFC. Maybe because the NFC, it's kind of a garbage deal. You know, it's really top heavy in the NFC. But to get bullied around by them, and then again, like you said, the audio of the Lions player and then get bullied again, I hope better. And listen, fuel for the fire. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, fuel for the fire. Get these guys to go. So, Doug, I was told you we're going to keep it a short one, man. I told you we would. I'm gonna let you get.
And I like talking.
I know.
So it's
like... what we'll do, Doug. We got to do this more. Is what we'll do. We won't let this go months on end without having you come around. Because, I mean, where else are you gonna get a good bear reference and an Ark of the Covenant reference all in the same show, dude? Like that is legendary right there. So, I appreciate you coming, Doug, and I appreciate everybody stopping by. Hit the like button on the way out, and you know, keep an eye out. We'll get with y'all next time.